Welcome to Psychic Elephant Radio. Tonight's feature presentation, Only the Monsters, Episode 1, The Brief. Please enjoy. David could barely hear the knocks at the door over the sounds of the Delta Blues coming from his 250-year-old turntable. He stands from his desk, walking past his notes on his most recent novel.
Just a minute!
David crosses his large, somewhat cluttered office. He pulls the door open to see Judith, Agatha's assistant.
Good morning, Mr. Owens. Agatha is requesting your presence to go over your next assignment.
Good morning, Judith. Do you know what this new assignment is about? I am really hoping to finish this chapter. I'm in a real groove here.
Unfortunately, I do not know much. It's a bit above my pay grade. But Agatha is quite insistent on this. It seems to be of the utmost importance.
Thanks, Judith. Please let her know I am on my way.
I'm sorry, David. I know how much this new novel is important to you.
It's all good. I have all the time in the world.
David lets out a little chuckle.
I'll let her know you're on your way.
David walks back into his office, contemplating his new assignment and the journey it will take him on. He glances at the 19th century six-shooters from his historical novel, High Noon. They are relics of the old world that still remain. Grabbing his notepad, David looks out the window at the lush landscape below. 100-year-old trees as far as the eye can see. David is based in Old Long Island, in the Eastern Territory. He pauses for a moment, reflecting on how different the world is now, from New York City's population in the millions to now only being in the thousands. He looks across the landscape, seeing Brooklyn's synth-blood factories churning away, and wonders what this new journey will entail. The High Council has never asked much from him, leaving him plenty of time to work on his creative endeavors. He wondered why this one would be any different. He grabs his satchel bag and walks out of his office. The office building is very large. He begins his long walk to Agatha's office. The office corridor is bustling with other council workers.
Hey, David, wait up!
Derek, hey, long time no see. How have you been?
Good. I just got back from the Southern Territory. It was a short 2-year stint. How's the new book? I'm really looking forward to it. I just reread Forever a Ronin.
The new book is going great. I have a good feeling about this one. But I think I'm getting derailed. I am on my way to see Agatha now. Something about a pressing assignment?
Oh man, good luck. That woman terrifies me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Take it easy. I'll see you around.
David opens the door to Agatha's office, seeing Agatha, Judith, and an unknown woman. Judith smiles at David and asks him to come in. Agatha, although slight in demeanor, she is quite powerful. Being 457 years old, her presence is intimidating.
David, thank you for arriving in a somewhat timely manner.
Agatha clears her throat and David laughs to himself, thinking of Derek's comment.
This is Melissa Hauser, an accomplished paranormal researcher from the South. She will be joining you on your new assignment.
Hello, David. Nice to meet you. I'm a big fan.
Thanks. Nice to meet you too.
Thank you, Judith. That will be all.
Judith squeezes in one more smile towards David as she leaves the office.
Please sit down. There's much to discuss.
Agatha grabs the documents marked classified.
First and foremost, this information is on a need-to-know basis. This needs to be kept classified until the High Council can release the information properly. Late last night, something unexpected happened. Elder Sebastian has expired due to natural causes at age 1,319.
David and Melissa look at each other and let out small gasps.
This being the first recorded expiration from natural causes that we are aware of.
Melissa cuts Agatha off.
There is lore, from thousands of years ago, of us having an expiration date of sorts. But many believed it stemmed from the poor living conditions of those times.
Aren't there elders older than Sebastian?
I believe Elder Dimitri is over 1,500 years old. Wait, how do we know when we are going to expire? Should we all be worried that this might happen to any of us at any time?
It's poetic, really, to die of natural causes, when there is nothing natural about us.
Enough, please. The High Council will deal with the investigation into what has happened to Elder Sebastian. We need you to focus on your assignment and how it will benefit their vision. The High Council has accelerated the timetable on the Legacy project.
Agatha drops files in front of them with their assignment.
Before you open these, you must realize the importance of this work. You're going to help shape the future of our society.
David and Melissa start browsing their files and looking at their assignments. The assignment is named Archives. David quickly skims the page and realizes the High Council wants them to create a historical guide since the fall. Tedious, but important work. Melissa skims the brief as well and notices that they will be on the road for at least a year. She can barely contain her excitement.
Nice. Are we going to visit all the territories?
This is really going to take a year? When are we leaving?
Hold all inquiries until your brief is complete. This is going to be a long assignment, but it will become vital to the Legacy Project. First, you will be helping to write the historical account of events following the fall. This will take into account key eyewitness testimonies and those who were crucial to building the new world, along with any other historical information you can obtain when you are traveling the territories. You will be visiting every territory in the new world, interviewing elders and getting their first-hand accounts. Any information you obtain will be sent directly to me, and I will forward it to the High Council. Document the early conflicts and uprisings that occurred since the fall, and how they have led to the High Council's unification of the territories. The High Council wants this account to continue to reflect positivity towards their work and what they have done to provide the much-needed order and structure. The Legacy Project and Archives Project were scheduled for a century from now, thus our topography and intel are incomplete. Our best course of action will be to send you to a set of coordinates and to specific settlements, where you will conduct interviews while documenting all information. Speak with the key figures and anyone else you deem necessary. You will report daily to the nearest OmniWeb hub. From there, you will report back everything. If more time is needed in a settlement, a formal requisition should be sent. Otherwise, you'll be provided with new coordinates. You will pack provisions from the hub, then depart. You'll mainly be traveling in a vehicle we provide for you. But many of these settlements do not have any functioning roads, so you will need to travel by foot or horseback through the dense forests. Long-range UV suits will be provided. A large portion of this land is still highly dangerous. For your own safety, do not deviate from our pre-planned route.
Are we expecting hostiles?
Our route has the highest probability for safe passage.
Great. When do we leave?
You will depart first thing tomorrow. Take the rest of the day to gather what you need and settle any affairs you have here. Your vehicle and first coordinates will be ready for you outside of the genetics building.
What about chips? Will we need money?
We will provide additional chips to you as needed. You may need them in some territories, especially the further west you go.
They might help jog some memories too.
If you find yourself in need of more, send a requisition, and we may make arrangements with the bone collectors to meet with you.
I would love to interview them.
I hate to keep bringing up, not getting killed, but will our transport be military specs?
Yes. State-of-the-art solar-powered transport with Gen 2 defense mode and sleeping quarters.
David nods as if he comprehends, and Melissa subtly rolls her eyes.
Your most dangerous travel will be when you are traveling by foot. I encourage you to pack accordingly.
Will we be sleeping in the transport, or will there be lodging?
Most settlements will have lodging. But you may not quite grasp the vastness of the new world. It may take days or weeks to travel between locations.
David laughs.
Good thing we got the sleeper model.
Everything you need is in the files you've received. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have another meeting.
Agatha motions for David and Melissa to leave her office. The two exit the office and pass Judith, who is at her desk.
Melissa, I'll meet you in the hallway in just a minute.
Melissa nods and heads out the door as David stops to talk with Judith. While Melissa waits in the hallway, she hears whispers from everyone walking past.
I heard 5 died of natural causes.
No way. It was only 3.
They are linking it to the synth blood.
James heard it was UV related.
It has to be murder.
I guess it's not so classified now.
Care to join me for a drink? Even though according to that one guy, it might just kill us.
Sure. I love living on the edge. Should we just go to the cafeteria?
Any place else we could go to with a slightly less office building cafeteria vibe?
Yeah, I know just the place. I just need to stop by my office and grab a few things first.
David and Melissa make their way through the building, hearing more and more rumors being whispered. David shakes his head at the gossiping.
You never know, one of them might actually be onto something.
This is me, come on in.
David grabs his jacket and keys as Melissa looks around his office.
Does all this stuff still work?
Gesturing to an old Miss Pac-Man machine. David laughs.
Yeah, most of it.
Oh, 6 shooters. Real useful. Oh, wait, is that a Masamune?
Actually, it is. I have 2. You're familiar?
When I was a podcaster, in the 2020s, we did an episode about the mythicism surrounding the katana swords made in the 13th century. Murumasa and Masamune 10,000 Cold Knights and all that. How'd you get them? Wait, how old are you? Did you know them?
No. I was turned in the 1990s. My father smuggled one out of Japan after the war. And the other, let's just say I acquired it a long time ago.
David gestures to the door.
After you.
While they walk down the hallway, Melissa is surprised to see a familiar face.
Oliver, is that you?
Hey, I heard you were up north. They have me up here working on a genetics project. How have you been?
I'm good. We are leaving tomorrow. A long haul, research trip.
Good luck. Hey, did you hear about the elder, the one who died?
Oliver, let's go.
Damn, they're waiting for me. I gotta run.
Take care, Oliver.
Need to know, huh?
It's midday, so the sun is quite strong. They stop momentarily to flip up the hoods on their UV jackets before they head out.
Is this place far away? We've just met, and I really don't want to get sick in front of you.
Wait, hold up a sec. There's a tunnel right up here. We'll take that.
They lower their hoods as they enter the old subway.
Much better. Where'd all that come from, anyway?
All what?
You know, the sun. Us catching fire and blowing up or whatever.
The lore is, 2,000 years ago, our ancestors would catch fire and die in direct sunlight. And over the years, we evolved to the point where we are at now. Feeling like the worst debilitating hangover ever when we are exposed to small amounts sucks, but it's better than the alternative.
David makes an explosion noise.
Hey, look, we're here.
There will be blood? Charming.
There Will Be Blood was an old-school blood bar built in the subway in Long Island, a real locals-only type place. David lives nearby, and with his love of memorabilia from before the fall, he fits right in.
Holy shit, is that a jukebox?
David laughs as he orders 2 top shelves, the best synth they offer.
Oh, expensive taste.
David throws down the chips for the drinks.
I figure we'll be living off council-issued synth, and who knows what else for a while. So let's treat ourselves while we still can.
Do you think it's really going to be that bad out there?
They find a table and sit down.
I'm actually looking forward to it. I'll hopefully get to see and interact with some of the cryptids I've studied for years.
Hard to tell how it will be. All I can do is what they say, when they say it, so I can get back to my book and my bar.
I admire your dedication to writing, even after 300 years.
Writing was always there. I was always good at it. Not all that different from your paranormal research, which got a whole lot more interesting to you when you turned, I'd imagine.
You have no idea. I mean, a big part of me felt like the stuff I researched, talked, and wrote about was total bullshit. You know? I felt like a poser half the time. Until a body turned up in the French Quarter with what looked like bite marks. I did a deep dive over several episodes, and after the last one, I got a weird email asking me to meet. They had information for me. I agreed. And that's when I met Wayne. Wayne Carter. He was just over 100 years old. And he told me everything. I didn't believe him at first, but the more time I spent with him, the more I knew he was telling me the truth. I convinced him to turn me. And after some time, he did. That was May 14th, 2041.
Where's old Wayne at these days?
He helped acclimate me for the first year or so. Then he and his brother had to skip town. They were running from their past. So what about you? How'd you get turned?
I was in Chicago, doing research for a book. It was the 90s, before you were born. I was out exploring, and I wandered down the wrong street. Before I knew it, there were a couple of guys pointing guns at me. I walked in on a drug deal gone bad. I was shot several times and tossed in a dumpster. Somehow I was alive-ish. Something must have smelled the blood. It was so foggy, and I was in and out of consciousness. When I woke up in the dumpster the next morning, I was nearly healed. All the drug dealers were torn apart nearby. It was a grisly scene. I had no idea what was happening to me. The sun was killing me. I craved blood, and I felt faster and stronger. It was the pre-internet days, so all I could do was hit the library and various occult bookstores. That's where I finally met someone who could help me.
That's a sad origin story. You're like an orphan.
It was more confusing than anything else.
Melissa raises her glass.
Here's to you finding your real mom or dad one day.
David clinks his glass with hers and says,
Cheers. The dartboard is open. You up for a game?
Sure, it's been about 200 or so years since I last played. So, I might be a little rusty.
David laughs.
I'll go get us another round.
Sounds good. While you do that, I'm going to go check my messages.
David walks over to the nearby OmniWeb terminal. It's one of the original models, antiquated but still functional. David enters his ID number and scrolls through his inbox. There is a heartfelt message from Judith, a few messages from some friends who plan on visiting, and an odd message with no subject line. David responds to his friends informing them of his new assignment and proposes a reschedule. He saves Judith's message to read later, in private. He then deletes the no subject email. He's used to getting messages from his fans giving him unsolicited advice on his next novel. He returns to Melissa and the dart board.
Anything from Agatha or the High Council?
No, just the usual stuff. My guess is they won't tell us where we are going until we are in the transport and about to leave. We'll probably head north into the Northern Territory if I was making the plans.
Yeah, that makes the most sense. I was thinking we would go with audio recordings for the interviews. Then just send the files back to Agatha. It'll save us tons of time and give Judith something to do.
Yeah, I am sure she will love us for that. Good thinking.
David squints while aiming his first of three darts.
Do you find it strange they chose the two of us to spearhead this ridiculously important thing? I mean, there has to be plenty of more qualified people, right?
Well, I think the Elder dying of natural causes has the High Council thrown off a bit. But actually, it makes sense. I have experience in writing and research, especially from pre-fall, the days of the humans. And you're, well, a monster expert.
David gathers his darts and hands them to Melissa. Melissa takes them, looks down to ensure her toes are behind the line, and sizes up her first throw.
I don't know, I guess you're right. Why are all of your books set in pre-fall times, with all human characters?
I've always written historical fiction, human history, it's what I studied, and for the longest time, it's all I knew.
Then after you were turned?
It didn't change much for me. I still wrote what I knew. Plus, don't forget, most of us were humans at one point.
I think this top-shelf synth has got you all sentimental.
I don't know, maybe. I loved it back then. I kept writing books under pen names over the years. I made tons of money, traveled, and had great human friends, who all just thought I aged really well. So, I really hang on to those days as much as I can. I come to bars like this and listen to 300-year-old music on 300-year-old machines. It's great. What about you? You don't miss it?
Being human? No.
Well, yeah, the quasi-immortal thing is pretty great.
Absolutely, but yeah, I suppose I miss the pre-fall days. But I was a bit of an outcast. Especially when I was human, you know, the weird monster girl everyone stayed away from. Jokes on them, I guess. It's why I'm so excited about this assignment. Further validation of my original research.
Melissa lines up her first shot, throws and misses the board by 2 feet.
Well, I think that's a sign.
Yep, I need to go home and pack anyway.
David and Melissa walk out of the bar and make their way back to the street. David nods goodnight to Melissa and walks towards his apartment. The moon is shining bright and illuminates their way. Unknowingly, they are being watched from above.
Aren't you afraid of what they will find out there, Agatha?
I'm a 450-year-old Strigoi vampire. I am not afraid of anything.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Tune in next week for Chapter 2, The Factory. If you liked what you heard, please consider giving us a good rating. Check out our Facebook page, Psychic Elephant Radio. For more content, please visit our Patreon. Opening and ending theme song by Pygmy Moose. All content property of Psychic Elephant Radio.